Here are some of the news headlines we're watching.
By the time the conference was over, the president won a pledge.
So are Americans worshiping government over God?
An extremely rare safety move by a nation.
17 years the Palestinians and Israelis negotiated.
This idea of poll checks is not a good
Friends, welcome to In the Market. I'm your host, Janet Parshall. We're so glad you're with us this hour. We talk about the marketplace of ideas, and there will be a huge variety of things we will discuss on this program. Some of them will be encouraging, some of them enlightening, some of them challenging, all of them biblical. And we want to make sure that you understand that you create that marketplace as well. So we want you to join in at 1-877-LIVE-675, 1-877-548-3675. Your email's equally as important. Janet Parshall, that's spelled P-A-R-S-H-A-L-L, janetparshall@moody.edu. Well, if you follow football at all, you know that there's a devastating story coming out of New York today. If I say the name Lawrence Taylor, if you follow football at all, you understand that he's the former New York Giants linebacker. He is now in custody, arrested early this morning. He was arraigned this afternoon on a horrible charge, a charge of third-degree rape involving a 16-year-old girl at a hotel in New York. Apparently, the former football great was taken into custody after the police received a report that the girl, who was reported to be missing from her home in the Bronx since March. Would you remember that? That's germane to our first half-hour discussion. Missing from her home in the Bronx since March. She'd been brought to Taylor's hotel room by a pimp. And according to Christopher P. St. Lawrence, the town supervisor of Ramapo, New York, the police went to Taylor's room in the hotel and arrested him without incidents. Here's what's particularly sad. This town supervisor said, and I'm quoting now from one of the news stories, "We have a victim who is 16 years old who has alleged that they had sex. She is not allowed under New York laws to have consensual sex. She is traumatized. She's a very young girl." How did this girl end up being handled by a pimp? You know, nobody is more passionate on this subject than former Congresswoman Linda Smith. I praise God for her heart. She served in the legislature in the state of Washington State, and then God saw fit to take her to Washington, D.C. And she served there representing Washington's 3rd Congressional District from 1995 to 1999. But while there, God touched her heart and helped her see the trauma of sex trafficking globally. And she has done such profound work. God then led her to start a ministry called Shared Hope. It is a marvelous ministry. We'll tell you more about it during the course of our conversation. But Linda has also awakened the church to understand that there's a problem with sex trafficking, not over there, point to some other country, but right here in the United States. And the story today of Lawrence Taylor underscores that powerfully. And Linda, I welcome you. You've been such a teacher to me, and I thank you. It's a very difficult, messy subject, one a lot of people want to sidestep and avoid altogether. But God saw fit to take you into the midst of all of this, and you've been so committed. In fact, we're even going to talk about some legislation that just got passed into law. But talk to me first about this Lawrence Taylor situation. It's devastating. The 16-year-old girl, by the secular press's report, is traumatized, missing since her home. You've seen this kind of thing happen again and again. What do you think happened to her?
I haven't heard all the story yet, but she's a child. And whether she went out the door or out the window at night because she was unhappy with her uncle where she lived, I don't know that. All I know is that no one had a right to take this child and sell her to someone else, and no one should have been buying her. We call that human trafficking and the commercial sexual exploitation of a child. Whether you buy her by the hour or act, or whether you sell her, is a federal crime. And the minimum penalty is 10 years because it's so violent, so horrible. And I would wonder just how many men she's already been sold to. So it's a separate crime, and that is what happened to that little girl. I don't care what, even if she said, "I'm going to run away and I'm just going to be mad at my uncle," it's the child can't give consent to her own victimization. And unfortunately, Taylor was actually he's a part of trafficking, and he should come under a 10-year penalty. Some would go, "Oh, but what if it's only his first time?" And he has a 16-year-old daughter himself. I'm going, but if it was his 16-year-old daughter, would he want another man driving a market for kids to be snatched? to buy his daughter. I think he would see it different.
Wow. Amazing. You know the statistics like no one I know, Linda. Talk to me about what happens to young girls in this country, where I'm going to focus my attention much more within the boundaries here of the United States. We get runaways all the time. I, for one, am weary of seeing faces of children on the back of 18-wheelers and milk cartons. There seems to be an epidemic of the lost children, if you will. They run away from home. They decide to leave. How easy is it for them to be snared into this web of human trafficking?
We did about a four-year research project going inside, even with investigators, assessing parts of the legal system. We came out with this answer. It's really a severe epidemic. We have over 100,000 children that fall into prostitution every year, that the common purchaser of their innocence by the hour or the act is a pretty common, ordinary man in the United States. It's not any different than anyone we know. And that they are often falling out of the foster care system or running away. But just as often, they come from pretty typical, ordinary homes and were deceived online or at the local mall.
Wow. This program, this first half hour at least, will be such a wake-up call for moms and dads, how vulnerable our children really are, that there are people out there who wish our children harm and pull them into the snare of their activity. Linda's going to tell us some of the statistics, issue a wake-up call, let us know some of the victories, and also tell us what we need to do as well. Our number, should you decide to join us, 1-877-LIVE-675, 1-877-548-3675, or janetparshall@moody.edu. We'll be right back.
I'll tell you something. If you pay the price, you can get what you want. I can get it for you.
Really?
Now, if you want something really young, that $200, it just costs a little more than that.
Sure.
But how young are you talking? Talk to me.
Well, how young do you have?
Well, I don't have nothing younger than 14.
Okay, now 14 is good.
Okay.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Well, you're going to have to add something to that.
Sure.
What you willing to add to that, too? Just talk to me.
Well, like I said, this is my first time out. So the girls over there cost two, is it?
That's the women.
The women.
Now, if I told you two, and you know you want something younger, I tell you just to add something to it. Just tell me, you just pick a figure to that.
Well, three?
Three. If you do three, you got it.
Horrible, isn't it? Can you imagine a 14-year-old being sold in human trafficking, and yet it happens all the time? God's using Linda Smith in a powerful way. Used her when she was serving in government, both at the state and the federal level. But now she is issuing a wake-up call and doing all within her power to make sure that human trafficking comes to a halt. If you go to In the Market with JanetParshall.org, you will see Linda's book there called Renting Lacey. It's a tough read. It's a very important read, though. It is the story of America's prostituted children. Before we go to the victory of some legislation that you saw pass, Linda, recently, I want this to be a wake-up call to the folks who are listening right now at how bad this is. This is really and truly an epidemic. Give me some statistics about the average girl, what happens, how quickly they get sold. And, you know, you talked about what should happen to Lawrence Taylor. Are we prosecuting? Are there teeth being used in applying the law here, or are we just gumming this issue?
Well, let's start with the federal law. The federal law says that both the purchaser and the seller of children, anyone under 18, are involved in trafficking, and the minimum penalty is 10 years. That's serious, right? That's good. Mm. The only jurisdiction federally that is prosecuting the purchasers of sex is the Missouri district, where Cynthia Cordes is prosecuting. She's brought up 10 indictments. Five have now pled and taken the 10 or 15-year minimum, depending on whether the child was 11 or under or over. And so that's serious. I think there is law, and then there's application of law. Mm-hmm. And at the state level, there are laws throughout the nation on trafficking, but most of the girls are arrested for prostitution. When they do, are involved in prostitution, people like Taylor then come under a series of state laws, and they will often not serve any time. And if they serve time, it's so low it's not prosecutable. This, if you'll notice, he is being prosecuted not for trafficking, but for the crime of rape in the third degree. Now, I guess what I would say with that is what his attorney said when he was pleading that he didn't need to have any bail. He said, you know, he's not going to serve any jail time under New York state law. The chances are very low, he speculates. Then he went on to say that he would get more time for jumping bail than for the original crime. Therefore, he shouldn't have bail. Now, I think this says this crime is not equally prosecuted. Therefore, men that buy kids think they're going to get off, and mostly they do. And our report showed that all over the nation, as we investigated the trafficking situation, we found children arrested and the men that buy them not. Now, the good thing is pimps are finally going to jail, but not the purchasers.
Wow, that's so we're going after the girls. You know, that's amazing to me. So if we're going to stop the traffic, you have to stop the flow, which means you have to go after the user to try to turn this epidemic around?
If there weren't men like Lawrence Taylor shopping for the innocence of our kids, there wouldn't be pimps like Davis preying on this girls like this. She was just brought to market because Taylor was shopping or other men like Taylor. So if men weren't buying, there wouldn't be trafficking, as simple as that. And absolutely, if we don't get serious about prosecutions around the nation, then we're going to continue to have to pick up these girls, deal with their wounds, try to bring them to wholeness, and there will be just way too many because there's just so many buyers out there.
Oh, wow. Such brokenness in the lives of these girls. 1-877-LIVE-675. That's our number here at In the Market. 1-877-548-3675. Wayne, I welcome you from Indiana. Thanks for being here. And your comment or question, please, for Linda Smith.
Well, Linda, it seems to me that the main problem in sex trafficking must be police corruption, because you can't have traffic sex unless the customers can find the brothel. And if the customers can find the brothel, why can't the police find the brothel?
I think I'd like to address that, and I hear the frustration. The laws around the nation might be an issue of the police, but more likely they are the leadership that are not really directing police to arrest the buyer, or they are running investigations of drugs and other things that say, we really don't want you to spend time on child sex trafficking. So it's up higher than the police, but I think it's even higher than that. This is not an issue of brothels. Most sex trafficked children are dropped off at hotels to ordinary men. They are literally dropped off at a corner to be picked up to be used in a car. And so they're not necessarily the old models that you might think of a brothel. They are delivered online through a system there by the phone. So I haven't found that it's particularly, and there could be some somewhere, police corruption. I'm finding it's a culture of tolerance in our society, because we tend to say, oh, she's a prostitute, she's not worthy of justice, and we prosecute around the nation the things that we think are serious, and our prosecutors will prioritize the types of crimes they prosecute based on what they think people want. More important than that, the legislatures around the states literally have had tolerance for commercial sexual exploitation, and in some states, they will actually let the man say, I didn't know how old she was, and he never gets prosecuted.
Wow.
So I don't think it's one thing. I think it's many, and I think we point back to ourselves, and we say, if we weren't saying they were prostitutes, but we said they were victims, we in society could drive, I guess you could say, justice for both the buyer and seller, but also for that child.
Wayne, I thank you so much. Let me move to Lori now in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Lori, thank you for being with us as well. Your comments or question, please.
Well, I was listening to you talking, and I remembered an incident that I read or heard about a few years ago in my area. Two girls went to a mall, teenage girls went to a mall to go shopping. One of them had to go to the restroom, but the other didn't. So the one girl waited for the other outside in the hallway. A few minutes later, a middle-aged lady came out and saw the girl and said, can you help me? My daughter fainted in here, and I'd like to need you to help me carry her out to the car so I can take her home. The girl said, oh, of course I'll help. So she went in. When she saw the girl to be helped, she said, wait a minute. That's not your daughter. That's my girlfriend. Mm-hmm. The lady fled.
She was deceptive. you said
yes,
something.
And she was obviously what the lady was going to do was have her kidnap. She had probably drugged the girl and was going to kidnap her for the sex trade.
It's an interesting story, but I will say that the last several cases I've had, there has been involvement with the 12, 13-year-old victim in malls. It's just amazing how many have had a level of either recruiting or grooming in a mall setting. So they're really not safe anywhere that I've seen. And the other thing I think that's important is the pimp traffickers have a network that often is junior high boys or high school boys, and often high school boys, and these junior high girls are easily swayed, not for sex, but for an older guy. And so schools and malls, folks, they're not safe places. There's recruiters in them, and that's where we lose a lot of our girls to traffickers.
Let me read an email quickly to you, Linda, if I may. Janet sent this. She said, when people say, oh, the internet isn't dangerous, young girls can't get into trouble or can't be found by rapists or pimps, regardless of who they chat with, what would you say to them?
I think the online sale manipulation is one of the biggest ways of moving a girl into trafficking. And so it's just dangerous. I wouldn't let my child be on chatting with anybody. They didn't know. They give too much information. They don't realize. They tell personal information. They post it. I think MySpace and Facebook are dangerous for children. And, in fact, you really need to be very careful with your children online.
Wow. Amazing. Linda Smith is with us. I want to draw you to our website so you can learn more about the great work that she does. InTheMarketWithJanetParshall.org. InTheMarketWithJanetParshall.org. And I'm going to read Zanisa's email as I come up to a break here. She says to you, Linda, kudos for all you've done for awareness and solutions regarding trafficking of children. I recently helped host a trafficking awareness luncheon at my church in Atlanta, one of the hotbeds for this issue, and Shared Hope was very kind to share DVDs and copies of Renting Lacey for our door prizes. So many in our area have now read the book, which mentions Atlanta's problems, from attendees passing the books around to others. My daughter has worked with teen foster girls and has been vigilant in passing out and passing on Renting Lacey to others who know that girls in foster care are some of those most often trafficked. Thank you to Linda for being obedient to work on this issue despite attacks and weariness that must come. Thank you, Zanisa, for that kind encouragement to Linda Smith. We're going to take a break, come right back a few more minutes with Linda Smith, 1-877-LIVE-675, 1-877-548-3675, or janetparshall@moody.edu. More with Linda Smith right after this.
The things that he said were things that I've never felt before. I was actually felt like I was loved by somebody for the first time. And I put all of my trust and all of my faith in him. And the way that he got me was he told me, let's go for a ride. I got to pick something up in Indianapolis. And he said we were coming back that night. So I drove with him out to Indianapolis. And when we got out there, that's when he told me we weren't going back.
Terrible. Just think of the stories like this heard all across the country. But praise God for people like Linda Smith, who founded a ministry that's international. It's called Shared Hope International, and it deals with this pandemic of human trafficking. But also, Linda recognizes the problems in our backyard as well. Renting Lacey is the book that she wrote to wake us up to the problem of America's prostituted children. 1-877-LIVE-675 is our number, 1-877-548-3675, and we have a ton of people online. Lourdes, let me go to you if I can. Well, I'm going to have to wait just a bit for you, Lourdes. We'll come back to you in a second as soon as we get you in the queue. Peter, let me welcome you in Boca Raton, Florida. Thank you for being with us. And your comment or question for Linda, please.
Thank you, Janet. Thank you very much. I'm a social worker, and I'm going to be working at Covenant House, just working with homeless teens. But here's my question. I realize that widely published magazines in our community, these free magazines, I realize that in the back, they have ad after ad, not only for pornographic places, but for these so-called massage parlors. You know, it's a full-body sensual. It's obvious what is happening, and we know that these kind of so-called massage parlors are involved with human trafficking, because Florida here is passing a law, a human trafficking law, trying to crack down on places like this. And I was just completely astounded and outraged that this, these things that we know are involved in sex slavery are being widely published in these free magazines. And I want to know, how can I take these magazines and bring them to the Human Trafficking Task Force and try to get the authorities to use this to crack down on these places?
You know, evil doesn't like light. And to begin with, drawing attention to the fact that just like on Craigslist and online marketing sites, children are sold under the guise of just commercial sex or massage or whatever. Well, just the same, kids are sold in the back of these magazines, in regular newspapers. And once we started drawing attention to Craigslist, they're just having a rough time right now. People are pretty mad to find out how many trafficked children are sold on Craigslist. So draw attention to it and keep working. And by the way, Covenant House does a great job. I commend you. Really, you've done so much, and we've enjoyed working with you at Shared Hope International. The thing that he is saying is there is a task force, there's several of them, and you that are listening can just go on with the name of your town, even, or your state, and look for a task force and join it, because you're going to be more effective that way. In Washington State, we put together a task force of the willing, and we just passed a package of laws, probably like none other in the nation, and it took everybody. We drafted the laws, helped create the laws, but we would have just been by ourselves had it not been for people like you who are standing and speaking out, so I commend you.
Praise God. Well, let's talk about another thing that's positive, Linda. Talk about some legislation that just got signed into law. This is a bright spot of hope.
Well, we just passed the Protected Innocence package of laws, and it is a series of laws that protect the trafficked child after they've been trafficked, but also we're trying to prevent trafficking. And it also increases the penalties for those that would be thinking about buying or selling a child. So we looked at the law, and I scrubbed it. We do an assessment and a scrubbing of the law before we become involved. And what we found is the reason men were not being prosecuted for buying kids in Washington State was they could say, I don't know how she is. So we turned that around and said, well, you better have a copy machine and a printer and make sure every time you buy somebody, you get real strong proof that you didn't buy a kid. Now, obviously, in legal language, it looks a little different than that, but it makes them prosecutable. Then we said, you know, you don't get to do this in quiet. We're going to make you pay big fines, and we're going to take your car, and you're going to go to jail for up to 10 years.
Linda, let me stop you there 1 second. We'll be right back. Come back and tell us how this story ends with the legislation. We'll be right back.
This is In the Market with Janet Parshall. Visit our website at inthemarketwithjanetparshall.org. That's inthemarketwithjanetparshall.org.
Linda Smith is being extremely gracious. I asked for 30 minutes of her time, and she has graciously agreed to give us just a few more because I can't end in mid-sentence here on what happened with this legislation. So, Linda, if you'd continue to tell us, but just by way of background, because I know people will send me emails, was this legislation passed at a state level or the federal level?
The Protected Innocence package of laws was passed at the Washington State state level.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think it could be summed up this way. Before the girl that was being prostituted went to jail, and rarely did the men that buy her go to jail. Now in Washington State, not only will he give his time, his car, but he will really give up his reputation because he will be listed as a sex offender that he is. So it's a complicated set of laws, but it is important to every state, and we're challenging every state to pick up this package and to run with it in their state. We'll make it available online, and we're going to work with states that want to pass this for their own state. Can't just do part of it. We need to do all of it. Our kids are worth it.
I could not agree more. Linda, thank you for who you are and the great, fabulous work that you've done. Let me get people again to our website for two reasons. Number one, I want you to visit the website for Shared Hope International. Number two, I want you to read the book, Renting Lacey. As our friend Zanice from Atlanta had said in her email, her church did this as an informational session. It's being passed around. Atlanta is a hotbed, but Wait till you read Renting Lacey. You'll see how many other cities or hotbeds could be your child. So this is a wake-up call. Go to inthemarketwithjanetpartial.org, inthemarketwithjanetpartial.org. Learn more about Shared Hope International and also the book Renting Lacey. You'll see the cover of the book right there. Click on through and you can learn more. Again, my heartfelt thanks to former Congresswoman Linda Smith for all that she's done. We will have Linda on again in the future because every line is lit. Every line is lit. We had Linda as a guest when we were doing Talking It Over, and the response was equally as intense because I think people begin to understand what a problem this really is.